TalkZone.com.
It's time for Pageant Talk Radio with Valerie Hayes. This is the show that will inform and inspire you whether you're preparing for a pageant competition or just want to be an everyday beauty queen. We're here to help you develop life skills that transcend pageantry. Now, here's the host of Pageant Talk Radio, Valerie Hayes.
Hello and welcome to Pageant Talk Radio, and thanks so much for listening today. I'm Valerie Hayes, the pageant coach, and we're going to spend today's show sharing exciting information that can help you find joy and success at your next pageant competition or in the time in between when you're just being an everyday beauty queen. We want to help you make this year your best pageant year ever. Well, on today's show, I'm super excited because I'm featuring guests who have participated in one of the most beloved pageants, Miss America. And, of course, they've got winning scores in one of the most favorite areas of the Miss America pageant, the talent competition. Everybody loves the talent competition, and, you know, many, many viewers tune in specifically just to watch it. And so I'm really excited to be featuring two of our preliminary talent winners. Of course, one of our preliminary talent winners is, you know, Miss America. But today we're featuring Adrienne Corr, Miss North Carolina, as well as Deborah St. Ville, Miss Rhode Island. And they're going to be talking to us about what they can share with you about how they got those winning interview scores. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that you can find me on Facebook. My friends thing, the whole friends thing, you know, the 5,000 friend limit thing is almost totally maxed out. To follow me on Facebook, you want to look from my fan page, Valerie Hayes, the pageant coach, Valerie Hayes, the pageant coach, and just press like to like the fan page. I want to let you know that within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to be transitioning everyone off the profile page and to the fan page. So you need to make sure you like that fan page so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows or interesting information. I already want to remind you that I will be presenting for my very first time my social media and interview training at the Teens in Training Camp sponsored by Miss America's Outstanding Teen this summer. It's in August in Orlando. There's a graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page. Just scroll down, click on the Teens in Training Camp graphic, and that'll take you right to their website so you can sign up for the pageant. Participants are 13 to 17 for this particular workshop, and I'm going to include everything you need to know to make sure you're in full compliance with the social media requirements of Miss America's Outstanding Teen, and also ready for your media interviews. I also want to remind you that if you're getting ready for your next pageant, you can still get my 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions or my Mastering the Pageant Interview Audio CD. There's still plenty of time to cram in some last-minute practicing on your own. The audio CD is full of the exact same coaching and advice I give to my private coaching students, and the ebook 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions is the number one tool you must have in order to get a top interview score. Pageantry is all about self-improvement, and the best part about this particular self-improvement program, the audio CD and the ebook, is that proceeds from the profits go to benefit Kiva, which helps women and families living in poverty lift themselves out of poverty through personal development. So if you're getting ready for your next pageant, don't wait another day. Just click on the Mastering the Pageant Interview Audio CD graphic and the 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions graphics and get started towards your top interview score today. Well, as I said, today is a very special show. We're just absolutely thrilled to be talking with two of the Miss America Preliminary Talent Award winners. As you know, talent is a critical factor in many competitions, including the Miss America pageant, and oftentimes contestants spend hours and hours getting ready for that competition. My first guest, Miss North Carolina 2010, graduated magna cum laude from North Carolina State University with a BS in secondary mathematics education. I'm pretty sure that makes her a really smart girl. She also received the V Foundation. The V Foundation is close to Adrienne's heart. Sorry about that, Adrienne, as she lost her beloved father to multiple melanoma when she was just 18 years old, right before she graduated from high school. As Coach Valvano said in his famous ESPY speech, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Adrienne's dad lived his own life in that same fashion, never allowing the ravages of his disease to interfere with his intentions of living life to the fullest. Adrienne believes in continuing to share this enthusiasm for life, and above all, embodying the Southern grace of a positive role model for young women today. Please welcome to Pageant Talk Radio one of the Miss America Preliminary Talent Award winners, Adrienne Corr, Miss North Carolina. Hey, Adrienne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excited. It's still kind of unreal to hear that intro and hear a Miss America Talent winner. That is still just kind of unbelievable to try and absorb.
You know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stand on that Miss America stage and compete, isn't it?
It truly is. And to have that award on top of already the honor of just being there is just more than you could ever imagine.
I totally agree with you because, as everyone knows, the talent competition has been part of the Miss America program for a long time and in many ways is one of the aspects that separates it from so many other pageants in the pageant community. And as I'm sure you know, I'm sure you've got lots of pageant friends who are experiencing this right now, many local title holders are preparing for their state Miss America or Miss America's Outstanding Teen competition and, of course, are putting the finishing details on their talent routines. So it's perfect timing that you were able to visit with us today. But before we get to all of your tips and ideas and suggestions, it's really super exciting because you were one of the first, you were the first clogger to ever win preliminary talent, weren't you, Adrienne?
The very first, yes, ma'am.
Okay, now a lot of people are a little bit confused. They're not sure what clogging is. So what is clogging and how is it different from other forms of dance, like, for example, tap?
Well, and I usually first of all tell people that I am probably the worst example to differentiate the two because I really incorporate both. I have actually tapped longer than I have been clogging. That was what I did first. Started that at about the age of 3 and then started clogging when I was about 10 or 11. So tap was really my first love, but I really started to develop a love for clogging, which traditional clogging is, it's a different kind of shoe. It's more of a boxy shoe, and that style of dance is more flat-footed on the heels of your feet, whereas tap is more on your toes, a little more bouncy, I would say, than clogging. But my style of clogging really incorporates the two and is really more of a contemporary style than traditional clogging.
Right, and I think that that's one of the reasons why it was so absolutely fascinating to watch because it really did represent a very unique and very contemporary style of clogging. Now, clogging, as I understand it, Adrienne, has a particular cultural heritage in the United States. Is that right?
Yes, and I know there are different styles. Of course, I think closer to my style of dance, people have seen river dance before, which is more on the toes, actually similar to Miss Virginia's treble reel dance. So that could be closer to river dance, but then there's also another form of clogging, which I would consider the traditional style that started up in the Appalachian Mountains and is really more of a hoedown and lots of bluegrass music and square dancing. And that I think is a lot in the history of traditional clogging.
And that's the great part about dance within the United States, I think, is that, you know, it kind of changes and evolves over time. So even though clogging in the United States very much did have its roots in the Appalachian Mountains, as it's evolved, it's taken on other aspects of popular forms of dance and really melded into what was an absolutely audience entertaining, judge wowing performance for you at Miss America.
Which is what makes it so neat because, of course, everybody kind of has their stereotype and their view of any form of dance. And I think going into it open-minded, but also wanting to open other people's minds to be kind of accepting of all forms of dance that takes any time of practice and difficulty in something that they love that they can share with other people.
Well, let's pause for a moment to go back to last year at about this time when you were a local title holder. You hadn't won your state title yet.
Right.
What were you thinking of and putting together as you were preparing your talent competition for the state pageant? And what was your process to making sure you had a knock-em-dead talent?
I think one of the first things, and I think this can go for a singer, a dancer, an instrumentalist. But my personal thing is to have practiced it enough where I don't have to think about it. I don't want to be on stage getting ready to start my dance and getting ready to compete and have to think about what comes after this step or what step is next. I want it to be second nature where when that music starts, I know every single step that I'm going to do and don't have to think about it. And that way I can put more into the performance aspect of it and have fun and get the audience into it rather than thinking about the actual eight counts and the actual steps I have to do. So being in the studio and practicing and practicing and practicing because I don't like to have to think about it.
I think that's great advice. That's one thing that I've noticed that contestants tend to do is not to practice their talent enough. It almost has to be, and for a dancer, it's like muscle memory. The song starts and the body just does that muscle memory reflex of performing the steps. And for a singer, she knows exactly, you know, your voice needs to know exactly where it's going and so on and so forth. So I agree with you. Practice is so important. How often and how long would you say you were practicing every week?
I would like to have a set number of times that I would do my dance before I'd leave the studio. And, of course, being a math major, I have a thing with numbers. So I would love to get in the studio, and I would set this goal for myself, and I would say that I couldn't leave the studio until I did my dance full out 8 times. I wanted to have it done 8 times, and then I could leave and be done for the day. And, of course, balancing that with any title, with a local title, but then, of course, with a state title, it is a lot. So I would try to get in the studio at least twice a week, but then as we got closer to Miss America, I was really in there more like 3 and most of weeks, 4 times a week, trying to stay in there as much as I could.
So you would practice you would go to the rehearsal hall 4 times a week, and each time you were there, you would practice the dance full out 8 times. So you're practicing the dance full out 32 times a week?
Yes, that was especially closer to Miss America because I kept Soul Man. I competed at my state level twice, and then, of course, Miss America was my third big pageant doing. So I had 3 different versions of Soul Man. So I kept the same song, but it was different dances. Our state has a 2-minute time limit, but then, of course, at Miss America is only 1 minute and 30 seconds. So we had to shorten my dance, which, of course, makes it a whole new dance. So doing it even more that you kind of forget your dance before and you only know your current one makes it a little bit harder too.
You're right. That is a challenge. Now, what factors did you consider when you were putting together the choreography, you know, the actual steps to the dance? Did you do that? Did you work with a choreographer? How did that come together?
I actually worked, and if anybody's familiar with clogging, they know all that, which is a group of guys that competed on America's Got Talent several years ago. It's a group of 5 guys that now perform at the Carolina Opry in Myrtle Beach. And Mike Curtis actually did the choreography for me. And I think he incorporates a lot of what I have and what I like to do in clogging is having that contemporary upbeat and fun, but still having the difficulty there. So we literally took one day and he had choreographed a prior Soul Man. So we took the new music and kind of started from scratch and figured out everything that we kind of wanted to nix and start with all the new steps. So we took one whole afternoon because he had to travel from South Carolina to do that, choreographed the whole dance, and then it was just practice, practice, practice from there.
You know, it's great to work with a talented choreographer who really understands the impact of audience appeal, don't you think?
Yes, because there's so much more, I think, the talent there that can be difficult and show that you've worked hard at it, but you have to engage that audience because I think if the audience is engaged and they're having fun, then so are those judges, and that's where you're going to get the good scores.
Right. We know that, first of all, you have to entertain the judges. So if the audience is entertained, chances are the judges are too. And we know that over the years, we've seen a shift from getting a top score based on sheer technical talent, you know, the actual execution of the skill. And we've seen more importance weighed on the actual audience appeal. So how do you as a dancer, so you're in the studio looking in the mirror and you're thinking, hey, that looks pretty cool. And you like it. How do you get feedback or how did you decide whether or not it had a lot of audience appeal?
I think honestly one of the first things is music. And when we were getting ready to choose music before I even started competing on the local level, I knew one of the things in the back of my mind was that it appeals to all age groups because you never know. You could have, you know, a 25-year-old judge. You could have a 60-year-old judge, and that goes for the same as in your audience. And if it's music that people are familiar with and they know it but can also kind of tap their foot to at the same time, they're going to be entertained. So music was one of my favorite things. And once we found Soul Man, I knew that was something everybody can kind of enjoy.
Right. Everybody loves that song.
Yeah.
And then tell me, okay, so you've got the music, you figured out the choreography. Do you think of the costume as an integral part? Is it just kind of icing on the cake? Tell me about how the idea for your costume and how it came together.
And ironically, you asked that. This Soul Man costume that I wore at Miss America was technically my fourth Soul Man costume. I competed for the first time.
Oh, my gosh, what happened?
Yeah, well, it was just in the time of competing. In 2009, I competed at Miss North Carolina for the first time, and I had my first Soul Man costume. I was first runner-up and was getting ready to compete and go back to state again, and we wanted a new Soul Man costume. So going to state my second time, we had a whole new Soul Man costume, and I won Miss North Carolina. Then we decided we wanted another one. So I think it's kind of finding the ins and outs of what works well. This was actually my first time clogging in pants. Both of the other times I had competed, it was almost, we wanted to mimic kind of a suit coat, so there was no pants included. So this was a different aspect, but we knew when we hit this costume, it was right. So I think getting in there and trying different things, getting on stage and seeing videos of yourself, seeing pictures of yourself and what you like and what you feel comfortable in has so much to do with it, because by all means, this is by far my most favorite of the four costumes.
So what was it about the other costumes that you were thinking, okay, this is not quite right? Was it the fit? Did it restrict movement during the dance? Was it how it appeared when you looked at the video or still shots of the dance? What was it that you were like, no, it's not quite perfect yet?
Well, being a dancer and growing up as a dancer and an athlete in high school, I've always had more muscular legs. We were always afraid that putting on pants could make legs look bulky. So
right.
In designing the
We've all heard that before, right?
We wanted to stick away from pants. So that's why we had done tights before and kind of left more of a leotard bottom so that when I did dance, you could see the muscles in my leg rather than having them covered up, worried about them looking bulky. Well, that's when we started thinking about how a pant can make your leg look longer. So when we designed the costume that I wore, we designed it with the black pants, which is what I actually competed in, but we also designed a pair of shorts to go with those as well. So we would have two different options when the costume was finished. And when we got to the end of things, we did not think that we would like the pants, but everybody was so much more in love with the pant that elongated that leg, but then having the cropped stomach kind of keeps you from being so covered up and a little more feminine twist on the Blues Brothers.
You know, and here's another thing. I love how you're talking about the process of how you try different things. Here's another thing that I think people get hung up on is they start asking everybody for feedback, and then, of course, everybody has a completely different opinion. So how did you either shift through everybody's different opinion on the feedback and make the ultimate decision, or how did you decide, or did you say, I'm only going to ask these three people? Or how did you, you know, incorporate other people's feedback? Because I know a lot of people really struggle with getting too much feedback or feedback they don't think is right for them.
And that, I think, could be one of the scariest things stepping into a state title, because there is so much feedback. And my recommendations for any girl that's taking this on is, first and lastly, you have to feel good in it. You have to feel like a million bucks when you step foot on any stage, because any stage that you compete in could be your only chance. And where I feel good in stuff is when the people close to me love it, and I think you have to ask for that feedback, but then you have to have a final say. So when we started designing these, I'll go ahead and admit I was not a fan of the pants. I wanted to go ahead and I kind of said, okay, we'll make them, but I don't think I'm going to like them. But in the end, accepting that feedback that, yes, it did make my legs look long, they did look good, and I feel good in it, that's when you know that you've got a winner.
Yeah, I do think that's great that you went through the process of listening to the feedback. And you know, some people may not have the expertise. It may just be a personal opinion. But if you're working with people, like it sounded like you had a great support team, if you're working with people that have demonstrated success in that area, it's really important to listen. And obviously, it paid off for you. Well, tell us a little bit about what it was like to compete on the Miss America stage and how you managed. I mean, there you are. It's Miss America, millions and millions of people throughout the United States as well as around the world are going to watch the pageant. No pressure, of course. I'm sure you felt no pressure. Yeah, no, you didn't feel any pressure. How do you deal with that moment when you're in preliminary talent competition?
That was actually, I had some advice from a former Miss North Carolina, actually Jessica Jacobs, who was Miss North Carolina 2007, I believe, had told us that when she competed at Miss North Carolina, she didn't remember any of her dance, that it all just seemed like a blur when she competed in talent. And when she got to Miss America, she promised herself that she would remember every turn, every step, every mark that she made, because she didn't want to forget that. And I remember standing backstage before walking on stage to do talent that night. And, of course, what's running through your mind is you're in a group of 18 girls, and these are truly the most talented, the most prepared girls across the country. And all you know is what you bring to the table and to be your best. And I remember thinking, don't forget any of it. I want to remember every step, every turn that I make, because this will be the coolest chance that I ever get to do it. So just remembering it and having fun, because when you have fun on stage, I think that kind of bounces off everybody in that place and they can have fun at the same time.
So do you think that we will see more cloggers? Do you think this is a trend? What do you think?
Do you know, I really, really hope so. There are actually several girls that will be clogging at our state pageant this summer in the teen and Miss division. And I hope it not only opens doors for cloggers, but for all girls that have the talent that's a little bit different, because, you know, there's always that nervousness going into it. I was actually encouraged to tap whenever I was getting ready to start doing pageants, because it seems more, I guess you could quote, pageant accepted, and people know it and respect that. But I wanted to do clogging because it was different and it kind of represented me and who I was. So I want to encourage any girl that has any kind of different talent to go with it and have fun.
Well, that strategy obviously worked for you. And as you mentioned, you're getting ready to give up your title, having done a great job out and really an outstanding job as Miss North Carolina. Tell us when and where the North Carolina pageant is and how people can come watch.
Okay, the Miss North Carolina pageant will happen in Raleigh at Raleigh Memorial Auditorium. And finals night is June 25th, where we will crown a new Miss North Carolina. Our teen pageant happens that same week, but we crown her the night before. So she will be crowned June 24th, also at Raleigh Memorial Auditorium. And you can find tickets at www.missnc.org. And I think it's going to be a wonderful show. It's very bittersweet. This is actually our 74th Miss North Carolina, so make sure you stick.
Oh, my gosh.
For the 75th anniversary. They're really, really excited to celebrate such a milestone.
That is a fabulous milestone, and I can say, you know, as a pageant coach, if you are thinking about competing in a Miss America's Outstanding Teen or a Miss America local this coming fall and have not yet competed, or if you competed this last year and did not win a local title, you should absolutely go and watch the state pageant in North Carolina. It's absolutely the most informative thing you can do is watch a state Miss America or Miss America's Outstanding Teen pageant, because you learn so much from observing the other girls on stage and talent and gown and fitness. It's just the most amazing experience ever. Well, I want to thank you so much, Adrienne, for being on the show today. And again, the clogging routine was absolutely amazing. And thanks so much for sharing your advice on how to get a top talent score.
Thank you so, so much for having me.
Well, it was great having Adrienne on the show. And again, if you want to follow Adrienne, she's on Facebook, Adrienne Corr. And you can also click on her profile page, her profile there on the Pageant Talk Radio show page, and it'll take you to her website and give all the information you need to follow Adrienne, who has done an amazing job as Miss North Carolina. Well, it's time for our first break, but don't go away, because right after the break, I'll be right back with yet another Preliminary Talent Award winner. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back here on Pageant Talk Radio. Hi, this is Valerie Hayes, and I want to let you in on one of the best-kept secrets for improving your pageant interview skills. It's my Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD, where I teach you the exact same skills and techniques that I teach my private coaching students. The CD includes 3 audio files plus transcripts for easy reference. You'll learn how to spot and handle trick questions, the correct length of an interview answer, 3 tips for closing an answer when you're struggling, my easy technique for answering controversial questions, plus much, much more. Just pop the audio CD in your computer and listen, or download the files to your iPhone. What could be more convenient? But the best thing about my Mastering the Pageant Interview audio CD is the low price of only $97. Yes, it's a quick and easy way to improve your skills for less than you paid for your interview outfit. To get yours today, just click on the Mastering the Pageant Interview graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page and order yours so you can be pageant fab at your next pageant.
Hollywood Fashion Tape, the star's secret to looking perfectly put together, is also the favorite fashion solution company for the pageant world. The creators of the original hypoallergenic double stick tape used to prevent wardrobe malfunctions, Hollywood Fashion Tape also offers a wide assortment of clever, problem-solving products designed to give you a competitive edge on stage or off. From our guaranteed no-show concealers to our never-fail breast lift tape, we've got you covered. Visit HollywoodFashionTape.com and see how you can have the same confidence the stars have when walking your red carpet.
Do you have a headshot that isn't quite pageant perfect? Are you dissatisfied with the touch-up job done by your photographer? At PageantRetouching.com, they take the time to make your photo as beautiful as you are. Attention to detail, quality results, and customer service are the most important factors of their business. Get the polished look you're looking for without losing that natural, realistic quality. Just visit their website at PageantRetouching.com and check out their before and after photos. That's PageantRetouching.com.
Rain Cosmetics is the first makeup line born in Las Vegas. Inspired by the city's glamorous nightlife, and it's perfect for everyday appearances or your next pageant competition. With its richly pigmented colors and high-definition finishes, it's easy to apply and stays on for hours. For savvy makeup tips, follow Rain on Twitter and Facebook and shop for Rain Cosmetics long-wearing, photo-friendly products online at raincosmetics.com. You've never looked better.